Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
This is Lisa Cohn. Today on Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, I'm here again with Joe Bouffard, Director of the Youth Football Coaches Association. I'm also here with my brother, mental game expert Dr. Patrick Cohn. Our topic, dealing with anger in youth sports.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Welcome back, Joe.
Thanks. It's great to be here. I really appreciate you letting me jump in again and have a discussion with you.
And hi, Patrick.
Hi, Lisa. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Patrick.
Well, now, there's lots of ways that people get angry in youth sports. Can you talk a little bit about what you see out there, Joe?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, anger management is now a topic that needs to be addressed on all aspects of it in the youth game. We see a lot of the negative things that come out in the media today, coaches officiating brawls on the field, parents being very negative and against their coaches and officials for things like that. When it really comes down to it, it's a kid's game. I always talk about when I'm speaking to coaches or giving a presentation is that, you know, especially at the youth level, it's all volunteer. None of us are getting a $1 million signing bonus or $1 million paycheck, or we're paying for our mortgage based on how many wins and losses we have at the youth level. So we have to keep that in check, and we have to remind ourselves why we're here, and that's really to build the foundation of the athletic career of these young kids we're dealing with, and or the self-confidence and the character that being a youth coach involves with. But dealing with, you know, from a coach's standpoint, which I currently coach high school football and then deal with it at the youth level as well, is I figure that, you know, regardless of whether you are a calm, cool individual or you are, you know, have a quick little fuse, is there's mainly three different areas within your youth coaching aspect that you can come into an anger conflict. And that's your relationship between you and your players. That's the relationship between you, the officials, and that's not the game officials, that's league officials, you know, anybody that has a authoritative role in your coaching, and then obviously between, you know, yourself and the parents. So again, you may be a calm, cool, collective individual, but you can get hit with any of these little missiles, as I call them, on any given day in any given practice. So we have to understand within that, you know, how do we handle those? How do I handle my anger? What are my triggers for it? What frustrates me? And then once I'm good with myself, then I can go out and help diffuse some of these missiles that come at me on a day-to-day between the kids and parents and some of these league officials or game day officials.
Now, what do you tell – let's start with from the coach's perspective. What do you tell them – what do you tell the coaches about, say, the player anger?
Well, it's simple. One, we have to know ourselves, and we have to know that, you know, these are kids that we're dealing with, whether it's an 8-year-old or a 14-year-old kid or even an 18-year-old kid. They come from all different backgrounds. They all have different mechanisms, all different triggers, and they're all wired a little bit differently. So what we have to figure out is, you know, what's wired with each kid, what makes them work, what makes them wired, so that we can diffuse those wires when they go a little bit stray or get too hot. You know, we have to understand that, you know, we get these kids for 3-4 hours a day or, you know, 4 or 5 times a week. And there's a lot of other things that have been going on that we may not be aware of that could be helping, you know, fuel these wires or get these wires triggered. It could be issues at home. Could be, you know, a bad day at school. Could be just woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Or, you know, some of these kids now are medicated. Some of them may have missed their meds, and now they're ADD'd. They didn't get that. So now they're getting the adverse effects of it, of the kids, you know, forgetting to take their meds or things like that, which I've seen. So, you know, there's a lot that we as coaches must be aware of these young individuals and where they're coming at us. The biggest rule I have, and whether it's I'm on the field, in business life or personal life, is that I understand that I can't control everything in life. I can't control everything. There's no on and off switch. There's no TVR remote to control, pause situations, go back and think about it. So, you know, I what I can be is control of what I can be in control. So what I main thing is I can be in control of myself. And the coach has to do that. They're the adults. The kids are kids. A kid's going to act this way. I have to control how I react, how I counter that kid's reaction. And I think that's important, is that, you know, once we understand that, all the kids are unique individuals, we have to find why and how each one's wired. And we do that just by getting to know the kids, you know, whether it's a preseason meeting, whether it's an off-the-field activity, a bowling, a picnic, a movie night, things like that, just sitting out talking to the kids, right? Have them write down their goals as a player, goals for the team, things like that. And now you'll be able to understand where this kid's coming from. You'll get to know him a little bit outside of your relative sport, whether it's off the football field, baseball, diamond, so forth. You'll know that, he's the oldest of four kids, and he's the man of the house because dad left. Dad just lost his job, and, you know, he can't come to every practice because he's got to work on his paper route. You know, things like that can certainly can help a coach understand where these kids are coming from.
Now, let me jump in for a minute. My son had a coach once who, at the beginning of this season, asked both the kid and the parents to fill out a little questionnaire. And it sounds like you do something similar. And it was about it was from both the kids and the parents' perspective. What are your goals and what do you want from me? It sounds like you do something similar.
Yes, and I think, again, it really comes down to is what are to really motivate and to get the best out of your kids. Again, I have a very simple rule that my goal as a coach is the goals of the kids, because my job is just like a teacher in school. I have to prepare them for the next, give them as much information I can to prepare them for the next phase of their life. Same thing with a coach, as I have to give them as much knowledge to help them succeed at their goals. So in order to do that, I have to find out what their goals are. Now, on the flip side, I've been able to use those goals as a motivating factor in a positive way. If I have a kid acting out and he wants, let's say he's an eighth grader, and he knows he wants to go play at the high school, where we have a very successful, very traditional high school program, is, you know, if he's acting out or being a little lazy on the field or, you know, not paying attention to everything, I said, listen, you know, when you get to the next level, you're going to have to pay attention, because Coach so-and-so at the high school, you know, he doesn't tolerate any of that slacker. He doesn't tolerate, not paying attention when you're standing behind the drill. You know, you should always be listening to it. So you can use those kind of goals as a motivating factor and to keep the kids in check. From the parent side, I think it's a great and very important to have the parents fill it out, because then you know where the parents are coming from. For example, if I know that, you know, if I'm coaching the third grade team, it's the first time they're playing pads, and a parent fills out the goal that their son is going to win the Heisman Trophy, well, I know I got to put that in check a little bit, because he's only eight and he's got another 10 years before he's even close to getting into college. So, if he expects him to win the Heisman Trophy by the time he's in fifth grade, you know, I know that I have to, you know, handle this parent with some white gloves and be very cautious and kind of in a positive way, you know, get him to the light of what we're all about here at youth sports. So, you know, having...
I have a quick question. I'm going to jump in here.
Yeah.
Do you find that the parents with these with the higher goals are the ones who are more likely to get angry?
Yes and no. Yes, because the fact that they put a little more pressure on the kids. They expect their kid to be the best. They expect the their kid's the best, whether they're reliving their glory days through their young child or the successes they've had on the athletic field, and it just didn't trickle down to their kid, and they're frustrated with that, then those usually get to it. But very rarely do I see the one, I use that example as an extreme of the Heisman Trophy, but I really don't see too many kids that are that unrealistic. You know, everybody wants to win and go to the championship. But it's very interesting. On a side note, the National Youth Sports Council, I think, did a study years ago, and the number one thing that kids participate, reason they participate in sports is to have fun.
Right.
And number four on their list was to compete, was to enjoy the competition. So we as adults always think about the wins and losses. You know, we've got the Vince Lombardi winning is everything mentality for us, which is great in the professional world and when it really counts. But at the youth level, they just want to have fun and play with their friends. And competition is last. So, you know, we just have to kind of, you know, wean the parents into that thought process. So that's kind of, you know, how you – and obviously how do you handle that when you have a parent that has lofty goals for their child? Well, you sit down and kind of, you know, sit down and chat with them in a positive way. Say, listen, you know, what about if we got this done this year or this done next year? And, you know, wow, that's a pretty high goal for your son. Do you think how would you go about having him achieve that goal? And then you can kind of, you know, fill it in from there.
Well, now, Patrick, do you have any experience with this, with either the players or the parents with higher expectations for themselves being more likely to get angry?
I think so. Yeah, definitely. We get contacted all the time, Joe, by parents that say, you know, my child is just, you know, they're, you know, in many different sports, like in baseball, they strike out and they get all angry. They're throwing bats around and, you know, and then they're done for the game. And then they might get taken out and they get angry at the coach for being taken out of the game, and they don't get back in the game. Then they're angry on the bench. I think it's a profile. What Lisa was talking about before, Joe, we see that there's a profile of very highly motivated kids, not necessarily coming from the parents, but kids being very highly motivated, having strict, what we call high expectations for themselves. And then when they're blocked from whatever goal it is, they feel like, you know, this is unfair. This is completely unfair, or the world shouldn't be this way. And they get very angry with what's going on because they have such strict expectations about how things are supposed to happen for them, or how coaches are supposed to act, or how teammates are supposed to act. So we see this as a massive issue. I group it under, you know, dealing with frustration, coping with errors, coping with the anger associated with errors. So just at the player level alone, it's absolutely a massive phenomenon. It's a massive issue right now in youth sports, you know, even high school sports, collegiate sports. I mean, I see it at every level.
So, Joe, how do you tell coaches to deal with kids who get frustrated or angry?
Well, first of all, I mean, you have to let kids know that mistakes are, and they're going to happen. You have to let kids know that it's okay to make certain mistakes because they're learning curves and they're learning steps. Once a kid makes a mistake, it's our job as a coach to identify the mistake, correct the mistake. If they make it the second time, then we repeat the same. We identify it, correct it again. If it happens a third time, then we have to evaluate how we're communicating to the kid. There's more than one way to skin a cat. There's more than one way to correct a mistake on the sports field. So some kids get it from just you telling them. Some kids need to see the play drawn up. Some kids need to see it maybe on video. So find that way. But the kids have to understand that it's okay to make those mistakes. As long as they overcome, they put the mistake behind them, and now they can move forward and continue to learn. Prime example, yesterday, a quick story. We're at a high school passing tournament, and my quarterback threw a very bad play, threw an interception. And, you know, it that was the last play, so we ended it on that bad note. I told him to shake it off. It still was on his mind because I could see it in his eyes when we went out for the next time. So I made sure that the next play that I called, it was a nice, simple pass that I knew he'd complete and get his confidence back. So I agree with that, and the fact that, you know, the kids who are highly motivated do put a lot of pressure on them to really, you know, be perfect on every single play, which is okay as long as, you know, the mistakes, they have to understand that it's okay to make a mistake. That's how I learn things. And even as an adult, I'll make a bad call as a coach. I'll make a bad judgment error. As long as I learn from it, it's okay and I move on. If I continue to make those same mistakes, you know, then then there's an issue.
Interesting. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. I greatly appreciate your time, and always a pleasure speaking with you.
To listen to the rest of this audio, visit kidssportspsychology.com.